Church, I am so excited for this Sunday as we actually launch this new series that we are in. Love Beyond Words is the title of the series, and it's a series that is designed to help us understand just how much God loves us by looking at how He progressively reveals Himself to us and how He demonstrates His love for us. So this sermon series is a different take on love than maybe you've experienced before, because it's going to be a chronological look at how God reveals that to us. Because in truth, God doesn't just right out of the gate say how much He loves us. He does always say that He loves us, but how He communicates that becomes more and more powerful. The apex, the pinnacle of that is demonstrated here. And so the reason we are in this series and the reason we're working through it chronologically is so that by the time we get to Good Friday and Easter, we understand just how much He loves us beyond words. He's not just saying He loves us, but He demonstrates that over and over and over. This morning, we're going to begin to take this journey and see how He does that. And this morning's sermon is titled, Created Out of Love. That is exactly how we are created. And so I'm just going to throw a precursor out there. If you want to talk to me about the creation account, we can do that afterwards. I'd love to have those conversations. But this morning, I want to read from you solely from Scripture so you understand how we are created out of love and what that means in its entirety. So, with that, as we get started this morning, we need to have context. Because so often, 2,000 years removed, and now we have schools, we have science, and we say, well, I know how the earth was created, I know how all this came to be. As Christian, that's a very dangerous place to go to if that's the first place we go to. I want you instead to read this in the context that it was read to Israel. You see, the reason this is recorded is so that Israel understands how everything was created and why it was created. And so as we go through this journey this morning, we need to remember why God is saying this. See, Israel at this time is surrounded by pagan nations who have their own creation account, and they often worship multiple gods. And oftentimes these gods are what we call elemental gods, that they are, there's a god of the sun, a god of the moon, and god of the sea, and god of the earth, and all of that. And then oftentimes these nations, these pagan nations, worship multiple gods. It's unlike anything the world has ever seen before. That when Moses says you're to worship one God, that's unique in human history. And he says, this is the God that has done all of that. We're going to unpack that this morning. So I want to begin in Genesis 1, in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. We have to recognize that what the Bible is telling us is that God created the universe. And He did it by speaking it into existence. Moses is telling Israel that it is God that did this. Now, it's really important. We're going to do a little Bible word study this morning. And I want to throw something out. Maybe you've been in church for years. Maybe you've read the Bible. And you say, well, I know Genesis 1. I know the creation account. I'm going to urge you to stick with me, because my goal is to maybe teach you things you've never heard before, never experienced before in Scripture. So there is this little, there's two words we're going to focus on this morning. The first one comes right here when Moses is saying God spoken into existence. The word in Hebrew for God is Elohim. It is a title. It's very important that you hear that. It's a title. Well, Moses is saying that God, the supreme God, the ultimate God, that's who created the universe. And it is a title. Moses will use this word for the first 6 days of creation. He will say Elohim. And again, that's a title. And he's saying this all-powerful creator God, that's who did this. Okay? So I want to begin by explaining this scripture because we think we understand it. So I'm going to pull up a graphic here. And this is day one. And it says that God separated the darkness. He added light. He says that the earth, the space, the universe, it's formless and void. And it's darkness. What's important to understand right from the get-go is this space at this point in time is unable to sustain life. There is no light in that. It's just this void of complete blackness, zero light. Nothing can live in that. There's actually a scientific term for this. Science calls it chaos. The actual definition of chaos is this: the formless matter supposed to have existed before the creation of the universe. And science calls that chaos. Well, here's the amazing thing. In this passage, just right out of the gate, we see the Holy Spirit hovering over the chaos. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. It is God that is driving back the darkness by bringing in the light. He's doing this for a purpose. We're going to see that as we go forward. God is bringing order to the chaos. And here's another thing this morning. In Scripture, there are certain words that carry multiple meanings and have profound implications. One of those is water, as an example. Light and darkness are also two of those words. Whenever we see light and darkness in Scripture, we should pay close attention because it's teaching us something. Light often equals life, and darkness often equals death. Well, what Moses is teaching Israel is there can be no life in the darkness, in the chaos. It cannot exist. And so God drives the darkness back by separating the two. That's all that's happening on day one. And then we get to verse 6. Then God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." God made the expanse and separated the waters which were below the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse. And it was so. God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening, and there was morning, a second day. That's kind of a confusing passage, isn't it? What's waters above, water below? What does that mean? Let's go to our next graphic here. This is really what's happening on day two. God begins to form the earth for life. He separates the waters. Some of the water is used to be above. In other words, this water is our sky and our atmosphere. This water is what allows us to breathe. This is something unique to Earth. If you didn't know it, there has to be a certain moisture content and a certain air pressure in order to sustain life. So God, when he separates the waters, what he's doing is creating atmosphere that will not only sustain life, but now it will help warm this new planet. And he says that the water that is below, that is covering the earth, this water sustains all plant and animal life by either drinking it or through absorption. And again, Moses is telling Israel that is Elohim, it is God, this all-powerful God that is creating order out of chaos. And then we get to verse 9. Then God said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. So God called the dry land earth, and the gathering of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit, and after their kind with seed in them. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit with seed in them after their kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, a third day. So let's pull up the next picture here. This is our third day of creation. What we're seeing in this passage is God is separating the sea from the land. He is separating the waters in order to bring land forth. And God, then Moses says that Elohim creates vegetation that will grow on earth and feed off of this fresh, moisture-rich land that the waters were just separated from. I want you to hear that. Think about the earth. That land that came up from underneath would have been moist, it would have been fertile, very nutrient-rich. What's important to see in these first 3 days of creation is God is both separating things and driving back the chaos so that he can begin to create life. Day one, he separates the darkness from light. Day two, he separates the waters. He creates the water that covers the earth and then the atmosphere. He separates them. And now he's separating the seas from the land. In these first 3 days, he's doing all that so that life can be brought into this planet. Then we get to verse 14. Then God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He made the stars also. God placed them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on earth and to govern the day and the night and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. There was evening and there was morning, a fourth day. So let's go over our next picture here, day four. God now begins to fill the void and the chaos of the universe. There's a parallel between day one and day four. What's going on here? On day one, where there was nothing more than light and darkness, God now adds the sun, the moon, and the stars. The sun provides the warmth to heat this new fertile planet, and the moon will not only provide some light at night, but also creates the tides necessary to stir the waters in order to sustain life. A lot of times when we think of the moon, we don't think how necessary it is that it creates the tides that stirs the waters so we can have life on this planet. But there's another important point that we have to see here. Moses uses the term lights, the two great lights, instead of saying sun and moon. That's not an accident. What I don't want you to think is somebody goes back and says, yeah, well, that's Moses, and they didn't have a name for the sun and the moon. That's not true. He's actually being very intentional about calling them light. The reason he's intentional is because the pagan nations around Israel worshiped the sun and the moon. Moses is saying, these things, they're only lights. They're created. Moses is making a point to Israel. Why worship the lights when you can worship the creator of those lights? They're just created things. That's all they are. God created them for a purpose, but they're just created. You say, yeah, well, Pastor, we don't worship the sun and the moon anymore today. Are you sure? Ever look at a horoscope, palm reading, anything like that? Sure, we still look at months and seasons and things around us. Scripture tells us don't do that. Christians, if you're doing that, don't do that. Don't worship something as silly as that. Even the sun, as powerful as it is, was created by a God who is far more powerful. That's the point Moses is making here. And then in verse 20, God said, let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens. God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. There was evening and there was morning, a fifth day. So let's go back to our next picture, day five. There's a bird that has a fish in its mouth to demonstrate the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. Well, Moses is telling Israel is now that we have the sun and the moon in place and vegetation that is growing on the land and in the sea, God can now begin to fill the earth with life. Again, we see a parallel between day two and day five. And day two, God separated the waters, right? He had the water that was coming in the earth, and he created the atmosphere. And now God is filling those very two things. He is filling the water below with fish and the water above with birds. And then we get to verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after their kind. And it was so. God made the beasts of the earth after their kind and the cattle after their kind and everything that creeps on the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. But now, God is going to do something very unique in all of creation. In verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then God said, behold, I've given you every plant yielding seed that is on the surface of the earth, and every tree which has fruit yielding seed, it shall be food for you. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the sky, and to everything that moves on this earth which has life, I have given every green plant for food, and it was so. God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. So we're going to go to our day six picture here. And, well, because I grew up on a dairy farm and it says cattle in scripture, you got a picture of cows. Deal with it. So God begins to fill the earth with animal life, right? So the first thing we need to see in this passage is the plural words us and our. So God says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness. This is the first time that Moses shifts the use of the word Elohim. Now we're talking about something plural. He's using a plural reference to God. Who's he talking about? If you didn't know it, this is the very first reference in its completeness to the Trinity in Scripture. Let us make man in our image, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. That is what Moses is talking about. Second, Moses tells Israel that mankind was created in the image of God. What does that mean? Well, I'm going to be honest. That answer is an entire sermon series in itself. It really is. However, we only have to study Jesus to find the answer. When Jesus is born, when he becomes the incarnate Christ, it is the very image of God that walks the face of this earth. It is the image of God that walks with the apostles, that eats with them, that teaches them. If we only study the Gospels, we can see what being made in the image of God means. So I'm not skirting that answer this morning just for the sake of what we're trying to get to this morning. I just can't get into it, but I urge you, if you're curious what the image of God means, then read the Gospels, and it will be revealed to you. Third, Moses is telling Israel that it is mankind that is to care for God's creation. We are to be good stewards of all that he has given us. And this is really important to see this. This is Genesis 1. This is pre-fall. Everything's perfect. I need you to hear that right now. Everything is perfect in the universe. And God says, this perfect creation that I have given you, this place, you're to care for it. You're to be good stewards of it. And then fourth, at the end of the sixth day, we see that God saw that it was very good. All the other days, says it was good. But at the end of this day, it was very good. Here's a wrong view. And we do it as Christians. Right? Well, that's because God created man. Right? It's good now. It's really good. We've arrived, right? Boy, if we do that, we've got the wrong view altogether. That's not what's being said here. Here's the right view. It's very good because God's creation is full and has order to it. It's all of it. There's no longer chaos, only beautiful life with incredible potential in front of it. The earth and all of its inhabitants are perfect. It's complete. So it's very good. That's why God says that. We're just part of that massive creation story, just one little part. And then we get to Genesis 2, verse 1. Now, I'm going to continue reading here because the creation account actually continues on for these next four verses. Thus, the heavens and the earth were completed and all their host. By the seventh day, God completed his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had been done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all of his work which God had created and made. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made earth and heaven. Now, I gotta say this. This passage could be, again, a sermon all on its own. We'll talk about the Sabbath one day. I don't want that to distract us from the rest of what's going on here this morning. But I do want to draw out one very important detail in this passage. When Moses is telling this to Israel, up until this point, when he refers to God, he uses the word Elohim. And to refresh your memory, Elohim is a title. Moses is saying, Israel, that God, that all-powerful creating God, that's who did all of this. But now, when we get to the end of the creation account, Moses changes the verbiage and he says, the Lord God. Now that's missed on us, but it's really important you hear it this morning. You see, that title, Lord God, is actually a proper noun. It's a name. And in Hebrew, that name is Yahweh. This is really important to catch this point. What Moses is saying to Israel is that after all of creation was made, God created man and identifies himself to mankind. He is no longer this impersonal, all-powerful God. He is now this all-loving God who is all-powerful and creative, and he has created all of this out of love. And because of that, he is now known as Yahweh, the God of Israel and the God of all creation. This is so important you hear this. Because Moses is now telling Israel, you have a God who has a name. You can call him Yahweh. He has a name. And he has a name because he's meant to be in relationship with you. You're supposed to know him. But the point of the sermon this morning is to see how we are created out of love. So I want to draw some points out of this morning so you see this. The first thing I'm going to address, we need to deal with the scientific issues right in your mind. Maybe some of you went to school and in elementary school, they talk about creation. Let's just say this. If you want to have a conversation about the creation account, I would love, 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 love to have that conversation with you. But there's one important thing that as Christians that we need to see. Moses is telling Israel, in other words, Moses is telling the church, it is God that has created everything. How he does it, how he actually does that within those 6 days is not nearly as important as why he does it. You see, we have a tendency to focus on the how. We want to ask all these questions. Like, Pastor, are those a literal 24 days, 24-hour days? Or does each day equal a million years? With all my advanced degrees, my best answer is, no. Does it matter? Does it really matter? All that we come to know is that it is God that created it, and we need to focus on the why. Why would God do this? So I'm not throwing science aside. In fact, I love to do this. Here's what I found in my journey of faith. Oftentimes, it's science that will affirm something we've read in Scripture all along. Not that we need science to affirm it. We don't. But I think it's just fun when it happens. I love when science gets on board and go, oh yeah, that is right. I'm going to give you two examples of what I mean. So I'm going to pull up a slide here that has all sorts of information on it. But I want you to focus on two words. At the top, in the middle, it says chaos, and at the bottom, it says cosmos. I want to remind you of the definition of chaos. The scientific word chaos means the formless matter supposed to have existed before the creation of the universe. That's how science defines it. Cosmos is defined as the universe seen as a well-ordered whole. Let me say that again. Cosmos, a scientific word, means the universe seen as a well-ordered whole. Is it just me or somebody else going, well-ordered? Well-ordered implies an intelligent design, does it not? If there's an intelligent design, then there must be a designer. Uh-oh, we're in trouble. Who could that be? Moses is telling Israel, it's Yahweh. It's your God. It's your God that did all of this. And so as we look at this chart, it's really important that you see this. This chart needs to be read from top to bottom, left to right. So on day one, it's formless and empty, right? God separates the darkness. He brings light forth to drive out the chaos. And then he separates the waters on day two. So we have the oceans, the water that's covering the earth, and we have an atmosphere. And then on day three, he separates the waters. He pushes them back, and we have land. We now go from something that was formless to something that is formed. And then on day four, you see the parallel in the heavens? Heavens is another word for universe, by the way, in ancient writings. In the heavens, God adds the sun, the moon, and the stars, the very things that we need to sustain life on this planet. And then on the next day, on day five, there's a parallel there between the water and sky. What was once now separated as the atmosphere and sea, God now fills that with birds, with fish, and with vegetation. And then on day six, he adds animals and humans where there was once no land. God has brought order to the chaos. We now have a cosmos, a well-ordered universe. Do you think that that just happened? Or is that by the sovereignty of our creative God that this happens? You see, the entirety of Genesis 1 reveals the perfect and good creative works of God. At the apex of creation is man, who is to watch over and care for what God has done. When you look at that, what God is saying, you care for my creation because you're part of it. You have a very special role to play. But you also need to recognize, God is saying, you need to recognize that it is me. It is Yahweh that did this. The combination of these next four items that I'm going to talk to you about are unique to mankind. I need you to hear that, because don't hear just one of these and say, oh, see, pastor's wrong. I'm not saying just not standing on one of these. I'm standing on these four points that I'm going to give you right now. Only man can have a relationship with his creator and have love towards God. That's unique in all of creation, right? Only us can have a relationship with our creator. And only man can have love towards God. Only man can love others like God loves. When we read scripture time and again, especially John says, You need to love like God. Nothing else in creation has the capacity to understand what the love of God is like. Only man can love in this way. This is really important that you get this. Only man has the free will to deny God. God loves us so much that he created us in such a way that we have the free will to either believe in him or to deny him. That was created in us. That's really precious and unique. God loves us so much that he said, if you want to deny me, you can. That's your choice. But it speaks to our relationship with God. He's saying, I want to get to know you. I want to have a relationship with you, but I'm not going to force it. I'm going to give you all the evidence you need to know this isn't some fairy tale, this isn't a myth, that I am who I say I am. And you can believe in me and have a relationship with me. And lastly, only man has the ability to create like God. As we were made in the image of God, only mankind can produce life that has the potential to be like God. Right? We're told to live this life, and we are to become like God. We are made in the very image of God. We're the only things in all of creation that has the ability to reproduce and create something in the image of God. Yeah, mankind is special in all of creation. If you didn't know it, you're special. Every single one of you are special. You're highly valued. You're worth more than gold, all the jewels in this world. Maybe you've never been told that. You're created out of love. Your Father loves you. And he did all of that in 6 days for you so he could have a relationship with you. You see, by reading the creation account as intended, as Israel would have, we should see that God loves us beyond words. He who needed nothing, who lacks nothing, created us. Let me say that again. God didn't need us. God doesn't need anything. He is perfect and complete. If you don't know this in Scripture, you need to hear it right now. God doesn't need anything. He lacks nothing. And despite that, he chose to create us. So why did God create us? Simply so he could have a relationship with his creation where the love of God flows from him to his creation and back to him. It's complete. Love is complete even when we worship and we love our God. It's a complete circle of creation. We should recognize that God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. This is a day for us to rest from all of our work and to reflect on our Creator, to worship him, and to grow in his image, instruction and counsel. That's the seventh day. South Lake, we are in a season of Lent, and I hope that all of you are receiving the morning prayers. Now, there's something you should know. This was brought up to me. So you said, well, I didn't get prayer this morning. You know what? You're right. It's the Sabbath. Pastor doesn't work on the Sabbath. There are more than 40 days in between Ash Wednesday and Easter. Go count them. You take out all of the Sundays. Traditionally, the church has taken out all of the Sundays. And so your 40 days of Lent exclude Sunday. So you won't get a prayer on a Sunday morning. The reason we do this is because you're to just spend time with God this morning. No intent. Just speak with him. Worship him. Learn from him. Honor him. So I hope you spend these 40 days getting to know your Creator and coming to realize just how much he loves you beyond words. This is going to be a beautiful journey we just started this morning on. It's just one little fact that we are created out of love. We're going to go from that, Genesis 1, all the way to the cross in this series. I highly encourage you to invite others into this. So many people need to hear this. So many people don't feel loved today. They're struggling in this world. They need to hear it. They need to hear that they are created with a purpose by an all-loving God. Would you pray with me? Father, first, we want to give you thanks. We want to thank you for being a creative God, putting something so beautiful together. When we look out at the expanse of space and we are just now getting technologies where we can see so much further out, and the images are so beautiful of your creation. All of the universe is incredible. When we look at the human body, what a masterwork of creation. Something so fragile and yet so complex, called to love you. Father, thank you for giving us a purpose. Thank you for giving us this life. During this 40 days, may we draw closer to you, fall deeper in love with you, and live out our purpose here on this earth for you. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen. So, church, this morning, we're going to close in worship, and we're going to worship our God by praising him with another name. We're going to say, we are going to sing, Good, Good Father. It's more than a title, though. I want to point that out before we just jump into singing. Oh, yeah, I know Good, Good Father. I like that. Isn't it funny, though, how the term good is repeated in the title, just as it was repeated in the creation account. And the term Father is yet another term of intimacy as we have moved from Elohim to Yahweh to now Father. It speaks to how we were created out of love to love. Would you stand and worship with us this morning? Church, if you would like to receive a blessing this morning, will you simply hold out your hands like this? Brothers and sisters, you're created in the image of your God, a beautiful God, a God of creation. You should see yourself as precious, as unique. You've been given an incredible gift. Out of all of creation, you have the ability to love your Creator and show that very same love to others. Begin with that now. Hug somebody, tell them you love them, and share the message of Jesus Christ with the world around you. God bless you all. We will see you next week.